You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
My favorite, it's Judd's Hockey Show.
Indeed it is, Judd's Hockey Show, live from Xcel Energy Center. At least that's where I am. Declan Goff is manning things from the home studio, and we are here to discuss a 4-1 Wild victory. By the way, as we speak right now, I'm looking at the standings, Declan, on ESPN.com. I know there's a bunch of games tonight. Dallas, Winnipeg, and Minnesota all have 11 points atop the Central Division. Chicago, 1 point back. The Wild has played 10 games. The rest of those teams have played 9. Nonetheless, the point is... compared to the first three games that we saw and the disaster that was the first four periods of Marc-Andre Fleury's season, the Wild goaltender played excellent tonight. The Wild did not have a good first period. The Flower was great. And then the Wild comes back, 2 goals from Kaprizov. I have some bad news for you. It looks like Brandon Duhaime has suffered an injury, upper body, according to Dean Evason, and it's not good. And so the laundry list of injuries now includes Foligno over to Hartman. Over to Greenway, now to Duhaime. And so the Iowa contingent continues to be called up, but we did see a second goal from Mason Shaw tonight for the Wild. So your thoughts off of a team that now is actually playing pretty well, but definitely is depleted by an injury bug that's hit.
Get to the injuries here in just a bit, but I mean, after an 0-3 start to go 5-1-1, so basically points in all but one game since, pretty ideal to be sitting there after losing the first three games of the year, and now you're 5-1-1 since. Your goaltending's been stabilized a bit. You've kind of battled through a lot of the injuries, and yet you're still figuring out ways to win games, which is great, but I think 5-on-5, this team's gotten a lot better. And yeah, I mean, it's cool to see, you know, bottom guys and guys like Mason Shaw, who have been in Iowa for a while and have battled with so many injuries, score a goal, but I also think it's very telling when Kirill Kaprizov, your superstar, comes out, scores 2 goals, should have had a hat trick tonight. Saw him basically take things over against, again, a Montreal team that the Wild have seen before, but at the same time that they should be beating up on. I mean, this extended run that they're on, 5-1-1, outside of their loss to the Bruins, who are look like probably the best team in hockey so far the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season, these are against mostly lowly opponents, and you should be beating up on these opponents. So good for the Wild to be collecting points and mostly collecting wins against these bottom feeders.
Absolutely. And yes, to your point, Kirill, 2 goals tonight. He hit the post in the third period on what would have been a hat trick. He had 5 shots on goal. Joel Eriksson Ek, 2 assists, a +2 on the night. He had 6 shots on goal. So some of the Wild's top players certainly played well. They also, their, if I'm not mistaken, first goal of the game the second goal of the game for the Wild, which was Kaprizov's first goal, came on a power play. The Wild went into tonight, Declan Goff, and this is one thing that's, I think, absolutely huge for the 2022-23 team compared to last year, is this. The Wild entered tonight's game overall 9-for-32, 28% clip on the power play, only behind Colorado, Edmonton, and the Coyotes are third, or were third. 1-of-4 tonight, but among the things that the Wild has adjusted on their special teams, and the penalty kill still went into tonight, 23rd, so that was not great, but the power play has been an absolute asset, and a year ago that thing was, I think, a problem. You know the funny thing about the power play now compared to a couple of years back, Declan? You know, here's what I like. The first unit often stays out there for a long, long time, and it used to frustrate me so much when Parisi and Suter and those guys wouldn't get off the damn ice, because I'd be like, give the second team, give the second unit a chance. It's not like you guys are a bunch of Phil Espositos. Now with Kaprizov and that first group, it doesn't bother me. They stay out there a lot, and guess what? I'm cool with it because you know why? They have a chance to score. Big difference there.
Yeah, you know, the tweaks they've made on that power play from a few years back and even from most recently from last season have been the biggest bright spot, I think, for the Wild consistently throughout the season. The power play has been great. You don't want to get into a habit where when they were off to a poor start record-wise this year where you're so reliant on the power play where they could only seems like they could only score on that man advantage. But they have so many good cooks in the kitchen, if you will, to make that power play successful. And they're empowering younger guys. I mean, who would have thought, too, that a guy like Kalen Addison, who's basically been having up and down type of tenure with the Wild going into this season, is the quarterback of that number one unit that is the second best power play unit in the entire NHL. Marco Rossi gets time on the second unit. I think just giving players and giving the right players who are best suited to be on that unit, not because of the name on the back, not because of anything like that, not because of repetition, but empowering the right players who should be on the power play. And I think that's easily been the brightest spot throughout the entire Wild season is the power play. But it's the personnel that they're deploying, I think, that is really impressive.
If there's been a bright spot since the overtime loss, so they did get a point in Boston up until through tonight's game, it's this as well. Fleury's been fantastic. The Wild came out, and I don't know why, but it's sort of a hockey rule. Long road trip, bunch of games in a short span. Your first game back home, you always come out like really rusty. And this game was the poster child for exactly that, okay? The Wild gets outshot, and Montreal's not great. So don't get me wrong here. We certainly aren't talking about the 84 Oilers. But the Wild gets outshot 15-7 in that first period. And Flower tonight, again, absolutely phenomenal. And this is, I mean, we talked about it before the season on this show, and we especially talked about it early on when Fleury was struggling for those first two games and through the first three games when the goaltending just period was not playing well. This team's going nowhere without Fleury playing well. And tonight, first period, he made, I don't know, I think a handful of really nice saves. He made a couple in the second and third, ultimately gives up the one late goal, which didn't hurt them. But the point is, if there was one thing that we talked about and harped on, and this can't be, Flower's not playing well, so Gustafson can play, right? This is going to be Flower has to be playing well. Since that Boston game, this guy has come back really, really strong. I think he's played fantastic. And tonight against a team that could have come in here and stolen 2 points, he didn't basically, within the first period, allow that, and it turned the tide, I think, because then the Wild came out in the second period and I thought applied themselves and from then on looked far more competitive.
I understand why at the start of the season when he got off to such a terrible start, I think 11 goals in the first four periods of play, something of that nature where it was just horrendous. And look, his stats are still trying to rebound from that. I mean, he's 4-1-1 now. With a 3.69 GA and an 880 save percentage. And you might say, like, well, how the hell is he winning games? That's skewed because of the first, basically, again, those four periods that just made him go from the tank, and he had to basically rise up those numbers. Since then, he's been a very serviceable and above-average goalie. He'd have to dig himself out, so I think a lot of people probably who aren't watching the Wild are still seeing those numbers from a 30,000-foot view and say, well, he hasn't been good still this year.
Yeah, good
no,
point.
No, for the last 5-6 games, he's been good. And even in the loss in Boston, when they lost in overtime now about 10 days ago, and he allowed 4 in that game, but he was spectacular. He kept the Wild, that should have been a 7-8-4 Boston win, and he kept them in for an overtime. He's found his game a little bit. He's one of the most decorated goaltenders of all time. Third all-time in wins. Has a chance to, by the end of the year, probably even move into second place, and I believe pass Ed Belfour for second place all time, which is pretty damn impressive when you really all when it's all said and done. But just in the snapshot of after the poor start he had of the year, he's been great. He's been everything you thought he would be. You know, I didn't expect him, and I still don't expect him to be a Vezina guy necessarily, but he looks a lot more comfortable and a guy who isn't shipwrecking games. You can win with Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, he doesn't look old now. In those first four periods, he looked old, and it, you know, small sample size, I get that, but you're a little bit concerned because you're like, well, the dude is going to be, what, 37, I think, at the end of this month. So you are a little bit concerned, but he has come back and played great. Let's discuss Kaprizov's first goal, which came on the power play feed from Boldy and was so deftly tipped that the referees missed it. And I don't blame them. It was a little bit tough live. Okay. But anyway, but the point is, this was one discussion point post-game in the Wild locker room. This guy's ability to find ways to score goals, including goals that are tough to score just from a standpoint of parking your butt in front of the goal where you're going to get hammered, that goal to me, because, I mean, he scored pretty goals, and that was a pretty tip. But, you know, really the genesis of the start of that goal is being willing to park yourself right there and to take hits. And he is, as we've discussed before, strong as an ox for sure. But I thought that that was one of the prettiest goals just from a skill standpoint. And I think there's a lot of guys who, if they got that pass from Boldy, probably can't tip that into the net. They might come close, but that was a thing of beauty, I thought.
The thing that, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, because now we're, what, year three into the Kirill Kaprizov era, at least him wearing a Wild sweater, is the thing that I wanted to know him coming over here from the KHL is, can he skate? Can he move? Can he skate? All these Russian guys can come here with a hell of a howitzer. We all know that, and then they can't skate. They can't keep up. Can he do that? Okay, yes, check. He 100% can skate.
Yes.
The thing that still marvels to me, especially when I watch him in person, I know you were at the X tonight, the thing that I am just absolutely floored by every time I watch him is how strong he is. He is not just a guy that's a pushover that will sit in his little office and park his butt there and get his wait for his shot or wait for maybe clean up a garbage goal. This dude is strong like an ox, man. And he can take cross checks when he's right in front of the crease. He can win battles on those corners. He is so strong. He is not a fragile superstar. I mean, Stamkos, love Steven Stamkos. I mean, literally one of the best players over the last 10 years of all time. But, I mean, the guy always battles something. He gets banged up with some type of injury. He's made of glass. We saw it with Gabrick here forever, right? The groin issue just basically plagued him and prevented him from honestly really reaching his true ceiling here with Minnesota. Kaprizov is so damn strong, and it's all in that, you know, lower half. It's obviously, you know, the guy's lower half is what carries him, literally and figuratively. But the dude is so damn strong, and I think that's what I always forget about when I watch him in person.
Yeah, he is. He's got that butt, too. You aren't going to move him. Like, he is hard to move. You know what? For a superstar player, what really impresses me is how much how can I put this nicely? How much gritty work he is willing to do. You know, because there's a lot of stars that don't like to go into the corners. They don't like to stir things up. Kaprizov doesn't care. All right, let's transition to this, because I also want to talk about Kaprizov's second goal that came in the second period. And I tweeted this, and I've run this by you before, and I know that this was just a small time on ice for both guys, so this was not done, I don't think, in any way intentionally. But I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's an accident that Marco Rossi's first point, which I know was darn near waved off by a high stick, but it was not. His first point comes on a play with Kaprizov, who scores the goal. This goes back to what we've been talking about, and this is why, and I don't know if this came through on TV or not, but I really thought that after Rossi got that assist on the Kaprizov goal, his entire game picked up. He looked tentative till then. Like, it is frustrating because there's times where you're like, dude, you are talented. And he's a tough player, so it's not like he's just prone, because he's not big, but he's not prone to be pushed around necessarily. I thought after that goal, though, his entire game changed, and I would love to see him get more time because I really believe that it's a situation where when his confidence goes up, and plus because of his skill, the more skilled players that you put him with, the more Rossi thrives. And the thing that I don't think Dean totally gets is this. This is not a grinder. Like, he's not going to grind. He's not going to be the Hartman Goudreau. This is a pure, talented player who has to do his job. I get that. But I really want to see him and Kirill together.
I thought from start to finish, it was his most noticeable game in a positive way tonight. Yes, he probably almost got the goal. His interview with Kevin Gorg in the second intermission basically said he thought it was going to be high-sticking. Even when they looked at the review, he thought it was coming back for sure. But you saw that once you got an opportunity to play with Kirill Kaprizov on the ice there, that you saw the best of his game. Yes, I think even maybe even due to injury here, again, these things are just piling things up and you got to shuffle guys around. there might be even more of a case to move him up here and give him more opportunity and give him more run with that top line and Kirill and Matt Zuccarello, who are so phenomenal. So I thought it was his most noticeable game, his most positive game so far in his young, wild career. Maybe this sparks things. Maybe this gets his game in the right direction from more of a noticeable standpoint. I don't think he's been a bad player throughout his tenure so far at the Wild, but we're still waiting for him, instead of being a passenger, to be, you know, right, a driver. Can he be a driver of the puck? Can he get to the net more? Can he still up on the box score a little bit more? And I thought tonight was the first biggest positive step he took in making that happen.
And I thought before he got the assist that he was still sort of tentative at times, because I tried to watch him, because, I mean, this kid's got talent, and it felt like he was tentative and not really completely sure of himself. But when he and Kirill were paired out there, I mean, bang, it just took. And then after that, he was great. Now the hit at the end was shoulder-to-shoulder with the Canadiens player. I don't love that type of hit, but I don't think it's a dirty hit, and it certainly didn't draw a penalty. But what I do like about that is, again, from that point on, he was assertive. And that was the guy that we saw in the exhibition games,
yeah,
an assertive player. And that's what I want, because he's got the skill and the talent, and he's strong enough. Like, he's not a weak, weak player. So I really believe that if you can put him with skilled guys, his confidence grows. It doesn't mean he's not going to make mistakes, but, you know, don't mistake him for, well, if you're not defensively responsible and I've got you with a couple third-line guys, Boldy's fine, but, you know, I got you with some third-line guys. No, no, no. I think Kirill Kaprizov, Rossi, and Zuccarello would 100% thrive together, and it would be worth a chance.
You definitely saw two guys like Kirill showed up on the score sheet tonight. Boldy was on the score sheet tonight. Rossi was on the score sheet tonight. I mean, these are the future of the Wild, basically, you know, and they're all showing up, and whether it's on goals or assists or whatever it may be, they're all showing up on the stat sheet tonight. And these guys have to carry you. You know, now if there's an injury to Duhame, does Adam Beckman get a call up here?
Yes,
does someone else get a call up here to take his place? Can you still kind of shuffle things around a little bit, because you have to with all these injuries? And, you know, when you lose a Foligno and when you lose a Hartman, you lose a Duhame.
Greenway?
That is, again, Greenway. And you lose all these physical, bigger guys.
Yes.
That's a loss, yet the Wild are still finding ways to win. I don't think the Wild have to just throw their weight around, and that's how they'll win games, and that's their identity. But I do think them losing those players gives other opportunities to guys like Beckman, like Rossi, like Boldy, to probably score up on the score sheet more than they would before.
So just trying to guess here on potential timetables now of the four guys who are out. Hartman, I think it's his shoulder. I'm not sure, but indications are it's going to be a while. So it looked to me like in the fight with Tenorti, the shoulder might have popped out, possibly. Total guess. Reckless speculation on my part. But that sounds like it's going to be a while. Foligno is upper body, and nobody's saying what or, like, how long. So I think that there is probably some genuine concern there. Greenway, I think, could come back on the road trip, which means he wouldn't play Thursday. They then got, what, 5 days off that we talked about? Is that right, Dex? After that. And so it sounds like he could return on the road trip. Duhame doesn't sound good. I don't know if they've got a timetable yet, since it just happened in this game. But the point is, yes, you are right. They're going to need guys like Shaw. And if Beckman has to come up, which I think he probably will. The good news is this, though. The really good news is the fact that this team, as far as its call-ups go, is in so much better shape than, like, 3 years back, when they'd be screwed right now. Like, they didn't have guys to call up. Or if they did, they weren't good. So the one thing that I think it probably started, just to give him credit, with Paul Fenton, but certainly has carried over to Bill Guerin, is they have now built a farm system where you're not totally screwed. But I think probably the first guy from the list of four that I went through who's going to be back is Greenway. But my guess is it's not against the Phil Macadak Kraken.
Kraken on Thursday.
It's probably after, on the road trip they're going to go on after that.
Yeah. They have a game against Seattle at home on Thursday, 5 days off, and then three games in 4 days in California, or on the West Coast, I should say. So just a goofy little schedule here. So good on them to have 5 days off to get some players healthy to a degree and figure out what they want to do from a roster construction point. But then three games in 4 days, I mean, game on from that point. I would like to see Beckman up. You know, he shined here in the preseason this time last year and is putting up solid numbers in Iowa since then. So I think he's probably the one I'd circle at that I'd like to see the most, but we'll see.
All right. My last thing,
Yes, sir.
Rossi and Kaprizov. Come on. Let's see them together. I'm telling you. I think there's magic there. I think there's untapped magic. Everyone doesn't need to be a grinder. God bless him. Frederick Goudreau can play on any line because he is basically the reincarnation of his head coach. Give Marco Rossi a chance. All right, Dex, take us home, and we'll see the folks tomorrow for Mackey and Judd, Purple Daily, and all that other good stuff.
Absolutely. I hit the subscribe button for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment on this YouTube channel. This is Score North. This is Judd's Hockey Show specifically. That's Judd Zolgad. I'm Declan Goff. We break down Minnesota Wild news, games, and other extra news. Hit the subscribe button for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. Also, if you're a business and you're looking to maybe advertise that business, maybe on this podcast, maybe on Purple Daily, on Mackey and Judd, shoot us a note. We have some openings starting in 2023. You can fill out the feedback side on the Score North app, or you can shoot Phil Mackey an email. It's pmackey@hbi.com if you want to fill something out there. Or maybe there's a business you think we would love to endorse. Give us ideas. We're obviously all for that as well. So, all right, Judd. Good stuff, man.
I got to get home and get some sleep before
I popped NyQuil like 20 minutes ago. I'm bad.
I was sick
a
before.
Bit of a cold.
I was sick before. And
around,
we should wrap up by saying, again, congratulations to the Vikings. This TJ Hockenson. The more
move.
I think about this trade, it's just a win. It's just a damn win. Thank you, Detroit, for being the Lions. You are a giving type, as is right now the rest of the North. Green Bay does nothing. And Claypool, instead of going to the Packers, going to the Bears is great news because the Bears are not going anywhere in 2022.
Head on over to Purple Daily for that full breakdown. Daily Minnesota Vikings entertainment as well. Just Judd's Hockey Show. Hit the subscribe button. We'll be back here soon enough.
Listen, you guys know what this is all about, right? Right? What's it all about? Spurgy?
Hard work and having fun.
That. This is about winning.
Did you know that 61% of pet owners feel more prepared to be a good pet parent after testing with Embark? Embark your dog with Embark's dog DNA test to get hundreds of actionable health insights. You can be proactive with their health and work with your vet on a personalized care plan. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.